What's up, geniuses?
So I follow Freddie Taylor of Urban Intellectuals on social media. And if you don't know Urban Intellectuals, they sell these great Black History fact cards. Bought a few sets for my girls. If you have kids or even for yourself, I would definitely check them out. There's a lot of information in those cards that I didn't know myself. But anyway, he was saying, he has this thing that he does, what are we mad at this week? And so the answer for last week apparently is Twitter. So Twitter initiated its daily limit on the number of posts users can view, causing them to jump ship. First, everybody was going to Spill, which is a Black-owned platform created by former Twitter employees. And they have raised millions of dollars with the sole goal of competing with Twitter. And then Meta entered the ring. And Meta entered the ring with their platform called Threads, which is also a text-based social media platform. Their platform is connected directly to IG, Instagram. And within hours, 70 million people signed up. And that didn't sit too well with Elon Musk. So what did he do? In typical Musk fashion, he threatened to sue.
Welcome back to the Own Your Genius podcast, where we discuss building businesses, growing brands, and what else? Owning your genius. I'm your host, Attorney LaKanya Murray, owner of Off The Mark IP Solutions. Off The Mark is a boutique intellectual property firm representing innovative entrepreneurs, aka geniuses, who are looking to protect their brand and grow their business with ongoing legal support and business mentorship. We have a good one for you today, so let's get started.
So Musk is alleging that Meta broached former Twitter employees specifically because of the trade secrets they had access to. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about trade secrets and what to do when you're working for someone and you want to transition into entrepreneurship doing the same thing that you were doing for them. Like, how does that work? What considerations should you keep in mind? So that's what we're talking about in today's podcast. First things first, trade secrets. Trade secrets are confidential and proprietary information that gives a business a competitive edge, meaning that if someone were to have access to that information, you would lose your space in the market. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that can be registered, like some form of intellectual property, like a trademark or a copyright or a patent. It can be something as simple as formulas. Think Coca-Cola's formula or KFC's seven herbs and spices that we don't know about. Like, those are trade secrets, right? It can be processes. It can be a customer list. It can be software. It can be marketing strategies or just any other type of confidential data that, if revealed, would harm the business competitive edge. And trade secrets, I always tell people, sometimes they come to me and they're like, oh, I want to, you know, protect this, I want to do this. And I tell them that, well, it's not a form of intellectual property, it's not a trademark, it's not a copyright, it's not a patent, but trade secrets, they play a vital role in many industries and their protection is crucial for long-term success. The thing that you need to know about trade secrets is that they are regulated on a state level, so the laws can vary. But what a lot of states have done, 47 states as a matter of fact, they have adopted the Uniform Trade Secrets Act, which is UTSA, if you ever see that out anywhere, which this act allows for civil and criminal remedies for those who improperly obtain trade secrets. And there are three basic components of a trade secret under this UTSA Act. The first thing, the information has to be a secret, like does in the name, right? Trade secret. If everybody knows it, it's not a secret and there's nothing that you can do if your competitors get a hold of it. The second thing is it has to give your company a competitive edge. And the third thing is very important. You have to have taken reasonable steps to keep that information a secret. So even if it is a secret, but then you're telling everybody and their mom about it, then you haven't done what you need to do. If you're working with contractors and you're not restricting the information that they have access to only the information that they need in order to finish this project, you could be jeopardizing your trade secret. So trade secrets don't protect information that's common knowledge, information that you fail to keep to yourself. Like, they don't do that. And so that's why I say you jeopardize your trade secret when you aren't careful about the information that you disclose. And a trade secret, unlike other forms of intellectual property, they don't have an expiration date. They literally last for as long as they are relevant. If somehow, you know, you've been in business 20 years and the market finally catches up and starts to use what you consider a trade secret, but they hadn't had access to your trade secret or anyone that had access to it, it's not necessarily that you have a claim against them from using something similar or the same. If they didn't steal it or obtain it illegally, they're perfectly capable of coming up with something for themselves. So that's that. Now we're going to talk about what happens when you leave a job and you're in that same industry and you want to, like, when you leave a job to start a business that's in that same industry, I should say. And so there are several factors to keep in mind to protect yourself and your new business. First, it's very important to review any type of employment agreements or contracts that you have with your current employer. A lot of times people will be like, oh, I want to do X, Y, and Z, and then I'm presented with a contract to review it. I'm like, okay, well, do you see this? Like, you need to know whether or not those agreements have confidentiality clauses or non-compete or non-solicitation before you say, hey, me, I'm coming to start my own business and I'm going to take my secretary and I'm going to take my whatever who normally helps you and they're going to come work for me. Well, can you even do that? So let's talk about that a little further. Like I said, they typically include those clauses which will prevent you from doing that. Let's talk about those clauses. First of all, a confidentiality clause. A confidentiality clause typically prohibits the disclosure of trade secrets and confidential information that's obtained through employment. It can also contain language that prevents you from using that information for any benefit other than the employer. And the thing about confidentiality clauses is that that obligation continues even after you leave the job. So it's not like, oh, I just have to keep this stuff confidential while I work here. No, when you leave, you still have a duty to keep that information confidential. Now, non-compete clauses, on the other hand, restrict individuals from engaging in similar business activities or working for a competitor for a specific amount of time in a specific geographical area. The thing about non-compete clauses is that the government doesn't want to tell people that they can't work, but they also have to balance that with the fact that, hey, this company has invested a lot of time and money into training this particular employer, right? And so they had to balance that. So what they did is they say, hey, employer, you are allowed to tell these people that they can't do this type of work, but it has to be restricted. That limitation is not indefinite and it's not everywhere. So it's for a specific period of time and typically 1 or 2 years in a specific geographical area, meaning that if you do business in Georgia, it makes sense for you to restrict them from not being able to do that work in Georgia, but it doesn't make any sense for you to restrict them from doing it in New York or California. So there are definitely some considerations when it comes to non-compete clauses that you have to be aware of when you're reviewing your employment contracts to make sure that they actually do apply to you. The third clause that you should be aware of, and I talked about this or mentioned it briefly, is that non-solicitation clause, which is going to prevent employees from soliciting clients, employees, or anything of that nature from their former employer. Either of these clauses could prevent challenges for employees when you're transitioning into entrepreneurship. And they also vary in their enforceability depending on where you live. So make sure you consult with an attorney to see how these clauses affect you and your goals of entrepreneurship. So once you start your own business, it's vital that you know how to protect not only your own trade secrets, but how your employer's trade secrets will affect what you're doing outside of the contract. So first thing that you want to make sure that you don't do is bring any trade secrets from your previous employer to your new venture. Don't do that. It's very important that you respect the confidential obligations and avoid any type of accusations of misappropriation. Like, you don't have time for that type of heat, that type of lawsuit, that can just slow you down and cost you a lot of money. So the second thing you want to do is implement a strong internal safeguard. You want to make sure that as you're creating your own trade secrets, that you restrict access to sensitive information, that you use the written agreements like the non-disclosure agreements with employees, and that you have security measures in place. Then also make sure that you're communicating with your employees and training them on what trade secret protection is what trade secrets are, so that they will know what information they can and cannot disclose. So that's very important as well, because sometimes these contracts will be like kind of vague. And one of the things that I tell people is, like, if you have confidential information, make sure you lock it up, label it, and throw away the key, basically. Only pull out that key when you have to share that information with someone who needs that information in order to perform their job, and only the information that they need. And you'll hear me say that over and over again, but that's very, very important. If you're going to transition from employee to employer, you need to do some thorough planning and due diligence. You need to research your industry, your competitors, and also the legal landscape to fully understand what your position is as you're making this transition. The next thing that I would tell you to do is be upfront. Talk to your former employer about your intentions, and that's if it's possible. Sometimes it's not possible, but if it's possible, be upfront. Like, hey, I'm leaving. I'm going to start my consulting firm doing X, Y, and Z. I'm going to open up my own practice. Like, make sure that you are having that conversation if it's possible. Because if you maintain open communication, it can really help create a better transition. And you never know, they might become a referral source for you. You don't know what that relationship is like or could be like. Don't assume that just because you're leaving to create a competing business, that there's going to be animosity. It might not be. And the last thing that I would tell you to do is that you should really consult with an experienced business attorney to guide you through this process and ensure that you're in compliance and safeguarding your interests as you're transitioning into entrepreneurship. Several of our our Genius Insiders for transitioning into entrepreneurship, and they used their benefits for consultations, for document review, and contract drafting. And all this was to ensure that there were no legal complications and that their interests were protected when working with third parties and leaving their employer. And I'll say something else, and this is not really on the subject directly of trade secrets, but something stood out to me. He said that, you know, don't be too impressed with the success that Threads is having because they had two bigger brothers that paved the way, referring to Facebook and Instagram. And the reason that I mentioned this is because there are a lot of people that listen to the podcast that are in this building phase, in this launching phase, and they're like, dang, 70 million people. I can't get my community to get 100 people. Well, you can't compare yourself to them because, like Freddie said, like they had a roadmap and they already had an audience because where do you think those 70 million people came from? They were already on Facebook and Instagram, right? And all they had to do, and they made it real easy to open up an account when you're on Instagram. So don't beat yourself up too bad. The other thing I want to say, it has to do with branding, and this does relate to trade secrets. And I don't know if you heard me tell this story before, but I'm going to tell it. It's the story of Coca-Cola and how at one point they had, when it first started, they had two owners, but they decided to go their separate ways and they negotiated. And one owner took the name and the other owner took the formula. And the guy with the formula was like all excited because this is the formula that people loved. So he just knew that he had the winning hand. Turns out he was wrong. People recognized the Coca-Cola brand and they were loyal to it and they liked it. So they stuck with the brand and not the formula. And the formula was the trade secret. And I say that to say this, that if like people are jumping ship from Twitter, not necessarily just because Threads opened up, but it's because of the reputation and the brand that Twitter has started to create for itself. And so as you're building your business, you want to keep that in mind. Your brand is not just the name or the logo or your tagline. Those are all identifiers. But what do you stand for? What do people expect when they work with you? What type of values do you have? How do you treat your customers? Those are things that really, really matter when you're building your brand. That's it. I just wanted to mention those last two thoughts. So what do you think of Threads? I don't know. You tell me. Have you joined Spill or Thread? I will tell you that I joined Spill. Will also tell you that I won't be active there because I don't have time to jump on, you know, different trends, social media trends, and go here and there just because it's a new hot thing. I don't. That's not what I'm doing right now. So, but what about you? What are you doing? But so I do have a Spill. I'll tell you, I think my Spill is just my name. No, I don't know. It's either Laconia Murray or it's Off the Mark IP Solutions. Follow me on there. One of those two things. But let me know if you're on either one of those platforms. All right.
Let's take this conversation over to the Mark Legal community. I want you to share this episode with three people and have them meet you there.
But you know what to do before you go. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and rate the podcast. Until next week, I want you to keep building your business, growing your brand, and owning your genius.